Today is going to be a first time ever at Harvest Church. My wife hit on it and doesn't even know this. She talked about sometimes we make our problems bigger. And Nikki and I were talking this week in our office, and she started saying the same kind of thing that the Lord had given me. So I'm going to be sharing the pulpit today with Nikki. She's going to preach some of what she did at the ladies' breakfast. First time ever. I know it'll just be powerful, but that's the way the Holy Spirit's leading. Fair enough? Amen. I'm going to read you a couple scriptures just to get us going. Fair enough? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says this, "For physical training is of some value." How many of you know that's true? It's very, 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 very important. "Useful for little, but godliness, spiritual training, is useful and of value in everything and in every way." We need to take more time with our spirit man than we do with our physical man. I didn't say you shouldn't exercise. I didn't say you didn't go to the gym. What I'm saying is our spiritual man is being neglected. If your body in the natural gets neglected, what happens to it? Starts shutting down and getting weak. We have to give more time and attention to the spirit man. Say the spirit man.
Spirit man.
Amen.
Amen.
Say my spirit man,
spirit man.
Gets hungry. What do you have to feed your spiritual man when it gets hungry?
Word.
The Word. You can't feed him donuts and coffee and lasagna and all that good stuff. That's for the natural man. Notice I put the donuts. Okay. But we have to feed our spiritual man, say what?
Word.
So the Word. Say, this is spiritual food. The Bible says you don't live by what? Bread alone. Word proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Now, I used an illustration several weeks ago. I'm going to give it back to you again because it just popped in my spirit. But we talked about a caterpillar. Say a caterpillar. In a caterpillar's mouth is a cocoon. Amen? Now, when it's time for this caterpillar to begin a process, he can take out of his mouth a cocoon, which represents an environment of protection. The Word of God gives us an environment of protection. The more we talk about the problem, the bigger it's going to get. Jesus never talked about a problem because in heaven, the word problem doesn't exist. All he did was talk about what his father had told him that day for that day. Say that day for that day. Because what does Jesus say in Matthew 6? Today has enough. Don't start taking over here to try to solve this, because then when you get there, if you make it, you'll be bedridden. So if our spirit man is strong enough, we can take on whatever comes our way today, and then tomorrow, after a good night's sleep, who doesn't sleep well here? Lay hands on yourself right now. The Bible says he'll give us rest. Rest in our physical body and rest in our minds and in our spirit man. I'm going to speak to those who don't have rest to say the Word of God says he gives his beloved rest. I'd find every scripture I could on rest, and I'd put them next to my nightstand, and I'd read them. Take your Bible there. Under, I don't care how you have to do it. Take your cell phone, however you want to get it. Put the Word of God into you before you go to bed. There are times when we sleep on a Bible. I have a Bible right next to my nightstand every night. Why? Because the Word of God covers us. Amen? I go around, put oil on my finger, and anoint every doorpost in my house. I anoint our bed, our bedroom, our kitchen, everywhere I anoint the house with oil. I've walked around my house with a bottle of oil for protection around my house. But what I didn't know was it was old oil and it killed the lawn. So if you're going to anoint your house with oil and walk around, make sure it's good oil. Or do it in the winter when it looks like an animal went around. And amen, hallelujah, glory to God. You're going to start sleeping better. Say, I'm going to start sleeping better. I'm going to give more attention to my spirit man. Say, more attention. I've got to give more attention to my... How many of you know we had a great time of worship and praise? We're having a great... All right? Then we leave. And now all these folks aren't here. Monday comes. We don't even want to get out of bed. Oh, my God. I just got a phone. Listen, whatever happens Monday can't be covered by Sunday. It's got to be covered by what happens in your life and my life spiritually. Grab a hold of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you a little something to help you out. There's such a thing called worry. The Bible says that worry is sin. Hang on now. This is a principle I've learned. What I've learned how to do is simply this. I have a concern. And what I do when there's a concern is I apply the word. If I don't stop that concern with the word, it's going to go crazy on the other side and produce worry, doubt, and unbelief and stress me out beyond comprehension. When a concern comes, you stop it with the word. Say, stop it with the word. Say it again, stop it with the word. All right, how many of you have your Bibles with you? All right, let's take a peek at some. It may sound unusual what I'm about to show you, but if I can let you see this and maybe you'll understand it, all right? Go over to John's Gospel, the 21st chapter. Can you do that? It's an interesting statement. Right after Jesus had a confrontation, if you don't mind, with doubting Thomas. Remember doubting Thomas? He said, I don't believe this, that Jesus is risen from the dead, unless I can do what? Touch him, see the nail. All right. So who was there? The Bible says that Jesus walked in and the disciples were there and Thomas. He did many mighty works. Am I right? But then after everything is said and done, listen to what Peter says. Are you ready? 21st chapter, the 3rd verse. And Peter went fishing. Look at me, everybody. We as human beings form habits in the natural and in the spirit. And I like to watch old movies because they're safe. My kids make fun if they're skipping through and see a black and white movie. No, don't ask us to put it back, Dad. Sometimes they're safe, but sometimes they're not. Because in those old black and white movies, what you would see is this. Every time there was a problem, somebody grabbed a bottle of liquor, pour themselves a drink. Because alcohol is a place where you can lose your problems, but when you wake up the next day with a hangover, you find out the problems haven't gone away. But I'm here to tell you, as a born-again, spirit-filled believer, you can begin to command that that thing will stop right there as a concern with the word of God in your mouth and will not develop into anything else. Say glory to God. Say glory. So the cocoon is formed out of the mouth of what? The caterpillar. It's a place of protection and environment so that the caterpillar can do what? Be transformed into a butterfly. So go over to Romans chapter 12 real quick. Did you do that for me? Romans chapter 12. And look at the 2nd verse. Listen to what it says. Don't be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed. See, that's what the caterpillar does. It goes through metamorphosis and is changed from a caterpillar into a butterfly. And remember when I used that a few weeks ago, I said as a kid, I saw that little cocoon hanging there and it was wiggling all over the place. So as a little kid, I got a little stick and I broke it open, figuring I'll help this caterpillar become a butterfly. But what I did was instead, I caused that caterpillar that wasn't completely formed to fall to the ground and the ants jumped on it and killed it. See, we have to stay in the cocoon of the word of God, because what the caterpillar turns into, and it's a butterfly, and you see the cocoon literally moves around. It's because the butterfly that's being transformed into is trying to strengthen its wings. We need to stay inside the word and keep saying it. What did the woman with the issue of blood say? And she kept saying, how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing, and keep hearing. It never stops. It's repetitive over and over again. Well, doesn't God get tired of hearing me saying the same thing? He loves it. Say he loves it. I have such a great time, my grandson in the office, James. I mean, he's sitting there, and today he laid down on the couch looking up and said, Hey, Grandpa, how old is the oldest Bible? I had to Google that one and tell him. That Bible up there looks pretty old. Can I have it so I can see how old it is, and can I read it? He's constantly has his mind going. One of the scriptures I'm going to give you in just a moment was simply this. God must increase, we must decrease. What does that mean? So I had to explain to him. I said, stand on the chair. Are you higher than I am? Yeah, that's an increase. Yeah, but when I get back down, I'm where I'm supposed to be. That's exactly right. But God needs to increase, and we got to get what? A little small. I got it, Grandpa. It's a precious time of exchange of words where he understands things about the Bible. He looks up, and he saw a picture of Lester Sumrall. Who's this old guy? I said, that's Lester Sumrall. He said, he's over here in this picture. He was in China at the time. I said, see how he's laying hands on me? He anointed me for ministry. My wife, when he came here several times and she had to pick him up at the airport, I was at the Albany airport and he flew in with a private jet and landed in Schenectady. So I caught a hold of my wife and said, you got to go pick him up. So she went and picked him up and his wife in the back seat, and my wife said nothing to him. She was afraid to say something to Lester Sumrall. Powerful man of God. Raised the dead and everything else. Like, and what did he say to you, hon? Thank you for your silence. Normally, I get flaky revelations from people when they get in the car to tell me everything about nothing. He was strong in the spirit. I heard several people use this illustration this past week, preachers, that one time he was in his room and he heard some noise and he saw a table in his room move from one place to the other side of the room. And he sat up in bed and he said, hey, devil, put that thing back where you got it from. And the table moved right back where it belongs. Amen? That's the kind of a guy he was. If you can raise the dead, you can move tables around. Amen. Say, he must increase. I must decrease. Listen, formed and changed by the entire, listen, renewal of your mind. Say, by what? The entire renewal of your mind. How often do we need to renew our minds? What happened with Peter was after he had seen all these miracles, everything that Jesus had done, and now all of a sudden he's going to do what? Go fishing. What happens is we know what we should do, but we somehow lean back on what we've always done our whole lives. I've had people get saved over the years and money gets a little bit tight, and they say, I'm going to go to the track and put some money in that horse. I remember one guy said, what are you doing that for? He said, well, that's how I can make money. I said, now you're a born-again, spirit-filled believer. We don't do that anymore. But he went back to what he always knew. He was too newly saved to understand the principles of God's word. Peter went back to what he knew. And guess what the other fishermen said? We're coming too. And then when they went fishing, they couldn't fish and find anything. Some guy they didn't recognize was on the shore. Hey, throw your nets over to the other side. And they said, he must be here having a hangover from the night before. We fished all night. There's nothing out there. But nevertheless, you know, give it a try. When they threw their nets to the other side, what happened? There was so much fish that the boat began to sink. They had to call some other boats over to give them a hand. And when Peter realized this miracle, he tucks his garment underneath his and he jumps into the water. That's the only place you can jump into the lake after Jesus talks to you. He jumps into the water, swims ashore, and what's Jesus doing on the shore? Cooking a fish. Did he say, Peter, before you jump, bring me one of those fish? Who do you think commanded the fish to jump in? Where do you think the fish came from? I don't think Jesus went fishing. I just said, fish be here. How was the earth created? From absolutely nothing, he made everything. Say, I want him on my team. Amen. Jesus said to them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. When you catch a large haul of fish, you don't count them. But in this case, Jesus was saying, every time you catch fish for me, they're not just going to be a fish, it's going to be a person. Every one of these folks in the front row have a name. They're an individual. God loves you. He died for you on the cross of Calvary. Amen. So when you start fishing and catching men, they're going to have names. They're going to have personalities. And we're going to remember them. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say glory to God. Glory. Amen. Now, can we do one more verse? Then I'm going to tag team. Amen. This isn't a wrestling match, though. Go to Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. I see, I can keep preaching, but I can't because I know the Lord has something to say through her. Amen. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to give you a little insight here, and then we'll be done. 25th verse, Romans 8, 25. But if we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid, bears us up in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray. Have you ever been there? Your back's against the wall. You don't know what to pray. Say, I don't know what to pray. That's when our concerns head in the wrong direction. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But if we stop that concern we have, no matter what it may be, and apply the word right there, that concern will be under the control of the Holy Spirit and the Word. Have you ever had somebody give you a bad report? You ever get a letter in the mail? Oh, boy. Well, guess what? That problem Jesus already knew about, and he's got it covered. Say, the Holy Ghost has got me covered. When you don't know how, have you ever been there, you don't know how to pray? You're just lost for words because what you just heard, information that was taken in, has causing you to stop. But let me give you a little thing. I wrote this down. Information is not the same as divine revelation. Information is not the same as divine revelation. All of us have information come at us. Am I right? All the time. If I buy something and I open up the directions, there's like 12 languages, and by the time I get rid of all of them and shred them all, I got like a half a page in English. But I look at that manual, oh my God, I don't have time to read this, but there's so many things I don't have to see, and once I get rid of them, boy, there it is, that's simple to read. The Word of God is simple to read, but then, say this with me, the application is what we've got to work at. Say we've got to work on the application of God's Word. When we don't know how to pray, listen to what it says. The Holy Spirit, say it with me, the Holy Spirit himself goes and meets our supplication and pleads on our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep to utter. Now, here's what I wrote next to my Bible when I preached years ago. Solving the unsolvable problems. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. Solve the unsolvable problems. Jesus never had a problem, but what he had was a plan that God was going to execute through him. Amen? When Pilate said to him, I can crucify you or I can let you go. You can't do anything to me unless what? My Father allows it. When a problem comes our way, the concerns that that problem face us, we need to go like this and say the Word of God, Scripture's out of our mouth. I'll share something with you next week. No problem. You're going to stay right there as a concern. Will I apply the Word of God? Because I don't know what to do with it, but it's already been solved in heaven. I said it's already been solved in heaven. My God, say it's already been solved. When you don't know what to do, you got to know where to go. Where do you go? Say always to the Word of God. Finish this verse and I'll turn it over. Fear not. Look at the 27. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. We need to be in harmony with the Word of God. Harmony every single day. I learn Scripture. I apply Scripture. My wife and I have things written down. We are always going to the Word first and foremost before anything else. I don't want to ever be caught going fishing. I don't want to ever be caught going back to some of the things I used to do in my life before I met Christ to solve problems. If I talk about the problem without applying the Word to it, the concern, that will get bigger. Because as soon as you talk about something, and the more you talk about it, it begins to lift up and get bigger and bigger and bigger. When Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, say unto this, Mark's gospel, say unto this mountain. What does that represent? Anything that's bigger than you and anything that's bigger than me. Have you ever run across those kind of things? They're huge. But I know somebody who knows the answer. I apply the Word of God and what was big becomes small. David saw a huge Goliath. All of the armies of Israel ran as soon as Goliath came out. What did David do? Instead of running away, he ran to him because he had the Word of God. Who was this uncircumcised Philistine? It was a problem. It was a mountain, but it came down real quick. Amen. Glory to God. Say, part one. Now it's time for the intermission. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Should I stand up here and listen?
You might make me a little nervous.
I'm leaving.
No,
I'm
stay.
Not, I'm leaving. No, that's all right.
Pulpit's big enough. No, you can share it.
Oh, okay.
You want to stay?
No, I don't think so.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Come on, welcome.
Praise God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I love that Pastor just said that about David running to meet Goliath. And the story of the Holy Spirit stirred up in my spirit man today was the story of Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 14. It's like a hidden nugget in the Word of God when Jonathan ran up a mountain at the Philistines. Amen. And we are coming to a place, church, where I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to be in a state of preparedness. Preparedness. I'm going to give you a definition for that. That means a state of being prepared and ready, having the word ready on our lips. As Pastor said, if there's a worry or a concern in front of you, what are we saying? Have the word ready, prepared, in Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Preparedness means a state of being prepared, readiness. Prepare means to properly expect, organize, and equip. The Lord wants us equipped in His word, wielding the sword of the Spirit at any problem, at any circumstance, at any concern, amen?
Amen.
Amen. So preparedness in the Spirit. And just as David ran down the hill to Goliath, we're going to look quickly at a story in 1 Samuel chapter 14, if you'll go there with me. Because this is who we are, church, in the Spirit. All of us, fully equipped, fully prepared to attack the enemy. We do not need to stand on the defensive all the time, whacking the things in the Spirit, unprepared. The Lord is calling us to go forward and move out and come against the enemy before he even tries to come at us. Amen?
Yes.
It's time for us to be on the offensive. We know the plans and tactics of the enemy. We know worry. We know fear. We know that there's sickness out there. So we don't need to wait for it to be at our doorstep. Amen? We need to be praying ahead of time. We need to be putting out that lance of prayer ahead of us. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's time for us to come out of the caves of silence and take action in the Spirit.
Amen.
I want to look quickly at 1 Samuel chapter 14. And there's a lot going on here in this portion of Scripture. The Old Testament is so rich with teaching. I encourage you just to study the Word. What's happened here with the Israelites is there's a war going on with the Philistines, and Saul, King Saul, has been disobedient to the Lord. And the Israelites are now, the army is hiding in the caves. See, church, this is where the enemy wants us, hiding in caves, cowering back in the thickets. That's not where we belong. We are the army of the Most High God.
Amen.
Amen? We are clothed in the armor of God. We have a helmet of salvation. We have a breastplate of righteousness. We have our sword in the Spirit we're going to talk about today. We have our feet ready with the gospel. We're not just dressed there to stand there. We're dressed there to fight and to move forward. This is about some forward motion today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel 13. Real quick, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. It says, 1 Samuel 13, chapter 6, when the Israelites saw their situation was critical and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in the caves and thickets, among the rocks, in the pits, and in the cisterns. What situation are you in today? What situation do you find yourself in today? Everyone in here is in a different situation. I don't know your situation. I don't know what you're going through. But I know this, the enemy wants us all hiding in a cave. With our mouths shut and quiet. Why? Because when we speak forth the word is alive and active and will destroy every plan and his pursuit. When we speak the word out at the enemy, we halt his plans and we put into action God's plans and purposes.
Amen.
But we have to speak forth the word. Amen?
Amen?
So here we find ourselves in chapter 14. Jonathan is with his armor bearer and he knows they don't need to be hiding. Right?
Amen.
So in chapter 14, verse 6, Jonathan says to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Jonathan moved on a perhaps. We're moving on more than a perhaps, because we've seen the faithfulness of God. Amen?
Amen.
So what happened was, he ran up this hill, and he stirred up the army of the Philistine. He caught the army off guard, right? We can catch the enemy off guard. He's roaring around, but we know his tricks. We know his tactics. We're aware. We're not ignorant, church. We know how the enemy works.
Amen.
We don't need to be hiding in a cave. It's time for us to rise up, fully clothed in the power and strength of the Lord, and go forward and attack the enemy. And what happened here was Jonathan took a mindset that God will win this battle for us. Amen. What is your mindset today? We know what's in our mind when we hear it coming out of our mouth, and we know about the heart and mouth connection. So it's time to yield ourselves fully over to the Lord and trust in His power and in His might. Jonathan ran up on a perhaps, and I looked up all different versions of this scripture to see, could it really have been a perhaps? It even said probably, possibly, possibly. He ran up on a possibly. I have a lot more than a possibly. I know the faithfulness of my God. Come on, church. If you're sitting here today, you know the faithfulness of God. You could rise up strong and wield the sword of the Spirit. And that's what I want to talk about quickly, is the sword of the Spirit, taking our offensive weapon in prayer. In prayer. I'd rather be on an offensive side of a game than a defensive side of a game. Struggling. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because it's the offensive team. Now, I've never played a sport a day in my life. I watch a lot of it. It's the offensive team that scores.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
It's time for us to take ground back. I don't want to be cowering down anymore. I don't want to be hiding in a cave anymore. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to move forward and take some new ground in the Spirit. I don't want to be dealing with my same old issues. I want to see souls at this altar. I want to see crutches lined up around this wall. Amen? I want to see people set free and delivered. And I know that's what you want too, but we got to come out of our own caves. Amen?
Amen.
Striking first at the enemy. I want to strike first. Amen. I want to attack. Amen. We take our offensive weapon, confessing and decreeing the word of God. That's our sword of the Spirit. We need to confess. Whatever your situation is, whatever the enemy has you put back in a cave over today, grab a hold of the word for it. There is a scripture and a weapon for every situation. Amen, Dana? We are going to roll out our arsenal of swords. That's what the scriptures are. They're our sword in the Spirit. Amen. This is how we fight.
Amen.
And when we do, we're aligning our will with His will.
Yes.
We're not just praying any old scripture over any situation. We're grabbing the will of God for the problem, for the issue, for the sickness, for the rebellious children. And we're speaking it out. Amen. And I want to talk about before it happens. I'm not going to wait for my children to disobey before I start speaking out over them that they obey. I'm not going to pray for my marriage when there's an issue. I'm praying for my marriage every day.
Amen.
Why? Because it's good. Yes, it could always be better. Yes, I'm not going to wait for something to happen to our finances before I start praying over that seed. We pray over it now. This is what I'm talking about. Being actively in motion in the Spirit. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't wait for sickness to come to your door. Take communion every day as we've been taught. Stand against it before it even comes to your doorpost. Amen. Wielding the sword of the Spirit. No word from God is without power. No word from God is without power. Luke 1:37. Isaiah 55:11, His word does not come back void. We're holding on to the truth of the word of God. We're not fighting in our own strength. This isn't our own power. This isn't confidence in self. This is confidence solely in the power of the living word today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Psalms 119:89, His word is forever established in heaven. I'm encouraging you today in the power of the word. Psalms 138:2, you have made your name and your word greater than everything else. This word is greater.
Amen.
This word is greater than everything else that would try to come against you.
Amen.
But it's for us to have confidence and trust in this word and to know it is greater. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Another translation of that reads, your promises are backed up by all the honor of your name. Who's backing up this word? The name of Jesus.
Amen.
That is above every name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So let's go really quickly back to 1 Samuel 14 and what happens when Jonathan goes up this hill. Jonathan says, okay, if they say this, we're going. If they say this, we're not going. So God gave him a plan. He follows God's plan exactly to a T. to a T. He follows God's plan and God's timing. We need to be in God's plan and timing as we're actively moving forward in faith. Amen?
Amen.
So Jonathan obeyed the timing of the Lord. The Philistine said this one phrase he was waiting on, and him and one other caused a ruckus on the top of that mountain. And what happened was they stirred up the Philistines. And there was so much confusion and so much panic that the Philistines started killing each other.
Amen.
So there was confusion in the enemy camp. But then what happened was the army of Israel that was hiding heard all this, and their faith got stirred up. See, when we move forward, we can stir up the faith of someone else. Amen? Come on. Do you want to be one of those who can stir up someone else's faith because of your action, because of your confidence in the Word? We can cause panic in the enemy's camp and stir up faith in someone else. And then together, as an army, they defeated the Philistines. And they were at a stalemate for a really long time in this part of the history of the Bible. They were in a stalemate. So, church, sometimes we're waiting on God to move. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to move in obedience to His word. He's waiting on us. It is now for us to take the sword of the Spirit and move forward. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Jonathan was confident in the power and the faithfulness of God. And that's what we can have. We can have courage, confidence, and conviction in the face of the enemy. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. We are to use our voice to halt the plans of the enemy and to put in motion the plans of God. Say, halt the plans of the enemy.
Halt the plans of the enemy.
And put in motion the plans of God. Amen. I'm going to read a quote here from Charles Capps. The Lord spoke to him and said this. This is Charles Capps wrote this. The Lord spoke and said to him this, "For my word to be effective, men and women must speak it. And that creative power will come forth confirming that which is spoken by faith. My word is not void of power. My people are void of speech. They hear the world and they speak as the world speaks." Church, we should not be speaking as the world speaks. Amen?
Amen.
"They even speak that which the enemy says." Come on, stop repeating what the enemy is putting in front of you.
Amen.
"They destroy their own inheritance by corrupt communication, fear, and unbelief."
Wow.
I'm not letting the enemy steal my inheritance. I don't know about you.
Amen.
"No word of mine," this is the Lord saying, "is void of power, only powerless when unspoken." This is our sword. This is our offensive weapon, our lance of prayer, that we can be speaking out ahead of situations, ahead of what is making you worried and concerned and anxious. We need to be speaking the word, any situation, every situation. The word tells us, pray about everything, right? The end of Romans says, why? Because everything is subject to change by the power of prayer. We're to pray about everything because everything is subject to change. We're talking about the sword of the Spirit today. Romans 8:31, there's a question in the middle of this chapter, and it stopped me in my tracks one day in my devotion time. What then shall we say in response to these things? What are we saying in response to the things that we're faced with? Are we allowing the enemy to put us back into a cave hiding in a thicket? What are we saying in response? Are we silent? The enemy wants to keep us silent and hidden. And it's time for the church to arise in power and authority, speaking the decrees of the word. I want to encourage you to get confessions and declarations over whatever area your life is in that the enemy is trying to put you into hiding and silence you over. Grab the word of God and speak it. Grab the word of God and decree it. Throw it out ahead. And if you're like, well, everything's good. I think everything's fine. Well, that's wonderful. Start praying ahead of time. Because we know the world we live in and we know the plans and tactics of the enemy. Because this is in response to all these things, in the good and the bad, in those mountaintop moments and in those valley moments. What are we saying to all these things? The Lord gave me three things. We can have courage, confidence, and conviction to speak out the word of God as we say. What is our response? We can respond as Jonathan did, possibly, in confidence, in courage, and in conviction. Courage means this: a spirit that enables a person to face difficulty and danger. Courage in the face of the enemy. Each one of us, strong and courageous. Confidence, a full trust and assurance, is what that means. Confidence when questions arise. Confidence when the enemy wants to put you back in a cave. Conviction, a firm and fixed belief. Conviction does not allow doubt to set in. Conviction, I'm so convicted, I have a firm belief in the word of God, the enemy cannot take this conviction away from me that the word of God is alive and active, amen? Why does the enemy want to keep us from speaking the word? Because he knows it's alive and active. Why does the enemy want to keep our voice silent? Because this word brings change. It is by the word of God that the mighty God created the universe. The enemy knows this. He wants to keep us silent and hidden. No longer, church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just stand and praise and thank the Lord and stir up a prayer of faith.
Hallelujah.
Church, we have so much more than a probably that God will win a battle for us. We have a strong conviction and a courage and a confident trust. And if this is an area that you're struggling with, I want to encourage you to open up the Word. Encourage yourself in the Scriptures. Nothing else. You know, there's times I put aside all the other books. I put aside podcasts. I put it all aside. And I just open the Word. Because it's the purity of the Word that we need to grab a hold of. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. And this Word, this powerful Word, is what will change our lives. This word is what changes situations. This word is what we send out ahead of us. Before the attack comes, we can bring panic on the enemy. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So we're going to end the service today, opening up the altar for you to come. If you, right now in this presence of the Lord, if you know there's something that you are not standing on, something that you are not speaking out against, I want to encourage you not to leave this sanctuary until you grab a hold of a sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We know the Rhema is the written word. The Logos is the spoken word. That's how we have a two-edged sword. I want to encourage you in this anointing to grab a hold of a scripture verse, come forward to the altar, and start practicing. That first word the Lord gave us today was, let me find it one more time, preparedness. Don't leave here unprepared. Be prepared with the word and the sword ready on your lips. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And if you do not yet know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come to the altar today and give your life to Him, yield to Him, and you too can know this power and this authority that has been given to the children of God as joint heirs with Christ Jesus. It's part of our inheritance to use this power and authority in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. We thank You, Lord, for Your word today.
Hallelujah.
We thank You, Lord. We cover this time in Your blood today.
Hallelujah.
We thank You, Lord, for Your power and Your presence.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank You, Lord Jesus, for a quickening word. Lord, I ask for each one right now that is searching their hearts for a scripture. Lord, You give them a now word, a quickening word in Jesus' name. I thank You, Lord. No longer, Lord, will Your church hide in a cave. Lord, but they come out the army of God strong and mighty in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Right now, I come against a spirit of depression. I bind up a spirit of depression. I don't know if it's more than one, but I bind it up in Jesus' name. Walking around with a heaviness like a wet blanket. You're like, well, I'm not hiding in bed. I'm out. I'm about. I'm walking. I'm moving. But you're not living. You're not living. The enemy wants to cause a spiritual death to come upon you and a death in your emotions. So right now, in Jesus' name, I bind up the spirit of depression and oppression. this weight. We address you in Jesus' name, and we say, go from the children of God. Go in Jesus' name. We bind you up. We don't allow you. We don't allow you to quiet the voice of the children of God any longer. We thank you, Lord. Depression goes in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God for the pulling down of these strongholds. We thank you, Lord. We pull down the stronghold of depression and oppression today in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that in replace of that comes a new joy, comes a new purpose in the name of Jesus, comes a stirring up with a mighty strength of courage, a mighty strength of confidence in who the Lord Jesus Christ is on the inside. We thank you, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name. 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 Come on, church, the name of Jesus. Let's just worship the Lord today and praise the name of the Lord. His name is higher. His name is greater. At his name, the demons of depression tremble and they must run. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord, today. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Lord.
Thank you, John.